Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, depending on your time zone, and welcome everybody to Nightlight. Welcome, night light workers, light body energies, seekers of the light, watchers and wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querens, journeymen and journeyers, seekers, star children and philosophers, and all those seeking reason and magic in these times of awakening, evolution, and transformation. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Mary Peeler and Jeannie, we all invite you to come in out of the mainstream and gather around our nightlight in the darkness and confusion of the times. My show sort of represents a pit stop on your cosmic journey, so sit back, share your light with other light-minded people, gather for a time and be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change. This is my own very small oasis in the turmoil that we call creation. Share with us your light. We'll share ours with you, and with any luck, we can generate enough light to not only light our ways, but provide light enough for others who are seeking as well. These journeys that we're on began a very long time ago and will continue long after this lifetime has faded into memory. So gathering together, as we do every week, generates energy that can and is drawn on by countless others. Coming together and blending our lights creates energy that serves not only ourselves, but humanity as well. If you'd like to learn more about me, I invite you to visit my website, barbaradelong.com, and of course, Mary's is psychicmediummary.com. There's tons of information on both sites, as well as links to all of the other things that we do, so it's a great place to go and check out to see what's happening and where Mary is traveling and where I am kind of venturing to. It also lists the other shows that I do, of which I'm really excited about being included in. And on the first Tuesday and the last Thursday of every month, I guest host on Almost Heaven with Lizzie Starr and her daughter, Adele. And it's an amazing show. It's full of spiritual insight and all sorts of exciting conversation, and you never know exactly where it's going, but it always goes somewhere, and it's always informative, and it's always, I hope, enlightening. The other show that Jeannie and I have started is Light Night Matrix, which is on Wednesday nights. It's not on every Wednesday night, but most. And that's the chance that I get to talk to people about different paranormal or metaphysical subjects. This last Wednesday, we talked about mediumship, and I have a few very interesting shows scheduled for next month. We have a paranormal investigator coming on, and he's going to be talking all about the things that he sees and the way that they approach their different investigations. I also have an amazing author, Nick Rossler, on. He's written an amazing definitive book on UFOs and those that have been documented. And then I also have a wonderful woman coming on to speak about Wicca. I think a much misunderstood concept and title, and we're going to talk about Wicca and what it is and how the practitioners impact our reality and how they have quietly helped millions and millions of people with their holistic approach to everything. So do keep looking for Nightlight Matrix. We'll try to keep you informed as to what's coming up. And don't forget to check the website for the psychic, cosmic, I think somebody called it a cosmic forecast. There are forecasts for every month of the year there, and you might find them enlightening, enjoyable, and, you know, possibly even insightful. My guest today, yay, is Mary Peeler. She has found the time to squeeze us in, even though I was afraid she wasn't going to make it this month. She has decided to slide in under the radar, and she's with us today. She is one of my most favorite people. She is amazingly talented and gifted, sensitive and empathetic. She is probably one of the best mediums that I have ever worked with, and she and I totally love doing past lives. So if you're interested in a past life, do call in, and we will see if we can inform, enlighten, and maybe just a little bit traumatize you slightly. It's probably one of the most favorite things that we do when we work together. She is probably one of the most spiritual ladies I've ever met, and she is also very humble, which makes her even more endearing. So let me open her mic now. Hi, Mary, are you there?
Hi, Barbara, I am here. Hello, Jeannie, again, and hello, everybody. I'm so glad to be here. It does seem like, though, Barbara, haven't we just done this on Wednesday?
Yes, we
had a nice
did.
Discussion on Wednesday night. And before I get into all of that, and I won't because you'll tell everybody because I love that. You were so kind to me. Thank you so much for all the compliments. But, you know, we are a reflection of who we hang around with. And since I hang around with you a lot, I think I must be doing okay. So thank you, Barbara.
Well, it's totally my pleasure. I learn a lot from you. And
and today I learned when Barbara and I spoke this morning, all you gardening fans, Barbara taught me a lot about gardening today and all about hollyhocks. We do take a break from psychic stuff, don't we?
Well, you have to. And my way of meditating, especially once the weather gets this nice, is working in the garden and talking to the plants and talking to the fairies and helping Mother Nature to put on her garments of celebration for you know, having survived a long winter. And trust me, I'm celebrating that these days. It was a long winter. It was definitely a harder winter than I've had in a long time, and I am so grateful that that I'm able to get out there and get my hands in the dirt and walk barefoot on the grass. And
really? Are you walking barefoot already?
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's this this, it's not new, but it's sort of, you know, a born-again philosophy that has always been out there. It's called earthing, that if you walk barefoot on the ground, that you synchronize your energetic with that of the earth energetic, and by doing that, it helps to diminish inflammation and all sorts of other things. So it's a fabulous healing modality that doesn't take a great deal of thought or effort.
Oh, that's nice. I forget about that. I've always got my shoes on, slippers. So
yeah,
I got my dancing slippers on all the time.
Well,
so,
you know, it's something that I think we probably did as kids, because I can remember going barefoot, you know, all the time when I was a kid. And you know, so you become a grown-up and you always have shoes on your feet, and, you know, for some reason that seems appropriate. But the reality is, by wearing shoes, we are cutting ourselves off from that earth energy.
Well, this is probably true. I can I remember very fondly going barefoot in the snow. So just a daredevil.
Oh, jeez.
But now, like I said, I'm always walking in my dancing slippers. So I think I'll have to remember to do that and go walk outside and make sure that everybody's picked up the dog poop. So
that's one of the downsides to it. But you know, I live right by a swamp, so I keep the grass real short because I am terrified of snakes, and I know I know they don't mean me any harm, and I understand that totally, but I just don't want to step on one.
And what if you run across one who is in a bad mood for the day? I don't want to step on him either. Or
no.
Her. So.
Well, listen, I am terrified even of angleworms. When I dig up one in the garden, it's like, ooh, ooh, and I have to come inside and just sit and breathe for a couple of minutes now.
Aww.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. That's a new side of you, Barbara. I didn't know that.
That's an irrational phobia, and it has to be. I was traumatized in a past life because...
It has to be.
I cannot
that
equate it.
That can be
it.
Interesting, Barbara. So...
yeah. Well, you know, I do want you to get out your schedule because you're traveling all over creation here, and I want you to be able to let people know where you're going to be.
Well, it's the same thing because we are waiting our trip to our trip to North Dakota is coming up very, very shortly, but that is May 13th. We're going to be there. So we're going to stop in South Dakota, and then we're going to go to North Dakota on Tuesday, May 14th, and then we'll end up in Iowa on Friday, May 17th. So that should be a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Now you have traveled all over the place here. Have you? Is there a state you have not been to?
When I get to Minnesota, it will bring my travels down to. Are up to 49 states. So the only state I have not been in is Alaska, and I have read for people via the phone in Alaska.
Wow. I've never actually kept track of that would be fascinating to figure out just where the clusters of people are that I read.
Yeah, because you have so many.
Yeah, it is extensive, but, you know, some cold winter night when I have nothing better to do, I'll take a world map out and I'll start sticking pins in it.
Yeah, I think you'll be surprised at how many countries and things that you have, because it just adds to the flavor of our lives, for me anyway, and it makes me so grateful that I have this gift that I've been able to use. And even though I get tired traveling, I'm not giving it up because it's absolutely delicious, and that's the best word I can come up with, because I love the traveling aspect of it. It's so much fun.
Well, I think, too, I mean, 3 years ago when Patrick and I drove across country, I was so awed and impressed by how vast this country is and how much of it is not developed. And
yeah.
It was just amazing.
It is. It really is. And then you kind of, you know, here we go with the past lives again. You can't help but think, okay, have I been there before? So it stretches the imagination, and it makes me wonder also, okay, is the next life and the next journey going to be here, or am I going to be born with wings, and do I get to fly among the cosmos? I'm always excited about those things. So
yeah,
we shall...
The thought of having wings or being able to fly, you know, it's really funny because in the Bible it describes death as, you know, passing over and then flying, and you know, I often dream of flying, so I think that in some dimension we are able to, and it just it's so enticing, the thought of being able to just take off and fly to wherever I want to go.
Oh, me too. And I bet there's lots of people in our group today who would probably be agreeing with this, because I don't think there's anything more wonderful or exciting than dreaming we are flying. I absolutely love it.
Oh,
I don't think
gosh,
anyone
yeah.
else. There's no other sensation that's better than that.
Not at all. And, you know, I have only come close to that feeling once in my entire life, and that was when I was in a hot air balloon.
It was
so quiet and so peaceful, and you floated. And the only time you heard anything was when they juiced up the fire a little bit more to take the balloon in another direction or something. But it was just amazing, and I remember it being so peaceful. I thought at the time, this is what it must be like when, you know, you just are lifted gently up out of body, and then you float.
Yeah.
And everybody should try that, you know, just once. But you know, you should
on my list too.
Yeah,
definitely. And I have to agree with you, because it's just wonderful. And I don't know if you're watching chat, but Cindy, Keeping It Real with Cindy, asks you to try parasailing. So it sounds like a good time.
Oh, geez, yeah. I there's just not time to do everything, unfortunately. But it's certain that'll go on my list.
I know. Okay, Jeannie. Fat Chan, she writes.
I
love Jeannie.
Clearly, I will not be taking Jeannie with me when I do that.
That's because Jeannie's a horsewoman. She's got to be on the ground riding horses.
Yeah, that's true. Her
real
legs...
joy, too.
Well,
I know
has...
I'm talking probably too much today. So.
She has dogs and horses. She definitely has a menagerie, the beginning of a menagerie. I'm sure that, you know, with time, she'll extend it to even more at some point in time. But we have a number of people here, so I think we should get busy.
Me too.
Okay, we've got Michelle in Florida. Hi, Michelle, are you there?
Hey, yes, I am. Hi, Barbara and Mary.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle.
How can we help you here today?
Well, I wanted to tell you, I listened to your show about a month and a half ago, and I'd heard you say this before, but specifically about a month and a half ago, you were talking about mandalas and coloring them. And I finally decided to try it, and I've been doing it about every day now, and I am pleasantly surprised at the flow that it has created. So I wanted to thank you very much for that. I'd heard you say it before, but I don't know why I finally decided to try to do that. The reason I'm calling you today is because of this flow, like there's all these different opportunities kind of opening up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious, what do you see for these opportunities? Like which ones do you think possibly might amount to something?
Well, first of all, and you know, I'm going to reiterate, you know, what I said again, because coloring mandalas Mandalas are representations of spiritual energy, all sorts of them, and depending on the colors you put into them, it really speaks to different aspects of your chakras and your consciousness and everything. And it does. It raises consciousness. And I know that people think I'm silly, but getting out color, you know, crayons or watercolors or markers and focusing on putting color and energy into a mandala, and you can find them online and just run them off. You don't have to go out and buy anything. What it does is it starts your engine running. It opens a channel of creativity. It allows the spiritual energy to come in and impact your life tremendously. And because you've done the opening on a spiritual level, my best advice to you is to just get out of the way and try not to manipulate, think, or maneuver, but just go with the flow, because it is amazing, because the universe will open those doors for you if you give it a chance. Usually we try to figure, you know, usually I try to figure out where I think I'm going, and then I try to take charge of it, and that's when the other side goes out and plays golf, and I usually end up in a mess. So it does feel here as though you're evolving into new aspects of yourself. You're putting pieces of your puzzle together. Keep coloring. And it does feel as though you're at a time and a place where you're dealing with a lot of karmic stuff coming into your life. So I would just say, you know, see where the universe wants to take you, and try not to micromanage your own evolution. Try not to push yourself in directions that are not appropriate for you. Just wait and see what comes. That doesn't mean that you sit in a corner someplace and wait, but you know, put yourself out there and see what the universe, you know, brings to your door, because it certainly will do that. Mary, what are you getting?
Oh, exactly the same thing, because I'm getting all these ideas coming at you, and you really, this is your time. This is something interesting. This is your time to say no.
Oh.
Okay? Because you get to decide. So you're going to say yes, but you also get to balance it out by saying no, thank you. So you have to just go with it and see where you are. But think of it as a time of balancing both yes and no's, and how lucky you are to have this ability and opportunity right there in front of you.
Right. Yeah, it's been pretty amazing, the things that have opened up. And I understand what you both are saying to me, and I agree. Just one question though: what do you think about international travel? Since you guys were talking about it, it reminded me of that.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mary.
Are you asking? Ask your question in another way, because I'm always in favor of international travel.
Oh, do you see me traveling internationally in the near future?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, within 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 18 months. So, yeah, I think we're at the same page there. It does feel as though a lot of things are going to be opening up to you. And please be very prepared, willing, and excited if you are given the opportunity to go outside of your box. Because by opening the spirituality the way you have, it is bringing in possibilities and potentialities that you had not before considered. So allow yourself to really be stretched and taken into new areas of expertise that you might have to stretch a little bit and you know, take a class or two or a workshop or two. But it's so exciting for you. And I'm so delighted that somebody actually paid attention to something I said.
It took me a few rounds, I will say it, but, you know, I thought, let me just try it, and because I like colors, and I have painted, but I thought, let me just try this with these mandalas, and it really, I just couldn't believe how it just keeps working, and so now, every day, I want to keep doing it, one, because I like it, and two, because I'm just, you know, I just don't know what else to expect, because things keep coming.
It's your form of meditation.
Yeah. Now, are you using crayons, markers? What are you using?
I'm using crayons.
What are you coloring the mandalas with?
Crayons.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can use any number of things. And once you get really into mandalas, it's amazing. I've seen people make jello molds that were mandalas with fruit in them that were amazing. There's so many, you know, unbelievably wonderfully creative things you can do once you start playing with the creative stuff. And I think you've begun, and I think you're seeing such a wonderful return for your effort that I can't imagine it's going to do anything other than continue to spiral for you.
Yeah,
I'm going to say one more thing here, okay? Because I keep being told that when you're making these decisions and you're learning to say no to protect yourself and to advance yourself, learn that with all of this energy that's coming at you, you have to make a notice that sometimes the energy is simply answer all those phone calls, return all those emails, sweep the floor, do this, do that, do this. And there's where you have to say, no, thank you. I'd rather be doing a creative project, or I'd rather be working on a job opportunity or actually at work, instead of the energy level that comes with the have-tos.
Okay. I understand.
This is a time to narrow with love what your highest self is really wanting you to do.
I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very exciting for you. And I think that you're right on the fringes of having offers coming your way.
Me too.
So you know, I would buckle up because it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Thank you. Thank you.
You're
a
so
lot.
Welcome.
I really appreciate it. Have a great day, guys.
You
bye.
Too.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
I want to tell you something because you were talking about the mandalas. Years ago, when I had a very bad period in my life when I was just really, really, really coming out of the closet and accepting my gift and working with it, and I was suffering with panic attacks, and the coloring, now I really wasn't familiar with mandalas at the time, but coloring was such a joy for me. I would color Bugs Bunny comics books. I would do Mickey Mouse. And I would do anything, and modern art, which to me is kind of a mandala. And I found that it was so relaxing to have that choice, that if Bugs Bunny was supposed, or Mickey Mouse was supposed to wear a red hat, and I gave him a yellow hat, I felt so alive making a choice that was pure mine and could not be argued with because it was my choice and my decision. It was wonderful. I am always telling people to color, and I'm so happy that you encourage using the mandalas and coloring them. You're a very wise woman, Barbara DeLong.
Well, don't forget, I spent over 20 years doing over 500 mandalas for people, so... And I got, and at that point, you know, I got to design them and then paint them. And towards the end of the 20 years that I painted, I was doing them in oil, and they were the most intensive meditations I have ever done. Excuse me. And there is every now and then the inclination of, oh, maybe I want to get back to that. And then another part of me is saying, oh, you remember how your back hurt and your eyes ache? So not this week, anyhow. Okay, we've got Sandy in Ohio. Hey, Sandy, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing fantastic.
Great. How can we help?
I was wondering if you could tell me what you see for love coming up for me.
Is there now a relationship?
No.
Well, that's great. Because I think you've changed dramatically, and if you had been in a relationship, I was going to have to say, I think that it's going to change and shift around a lot. But since you're not in one, I think that's phenomenal. I from what I can see, that you're ready for one. There is that this element of being ready to be committed to something or someone.
Mm-hmm.
And the only downside I see is that you know, you want a soulmate, you don't just want anybody. So the universe is going to have to work extra hard to make sure that it brings somebody into your life that is appropriate for you. And I do see at least two people coming. It feels like they're coming into your life. Oh, gosh. Probably within the next month or so, one of them will arrive, and then a couple months later, the other one will. You're going to have a wonderful time. It's a time that the universe is sitting back and saying, well, let's just see, has she really made those changes in herself that she said she was going to make? And you're going to get tested. Now, you're going to find that the universe is also going to send you decoys. In other words, people that are not as special as you truly deserve. So that it's going to be up to you to be discretionary and to make sure that before you invest yourself emotionally this time, that the person has the qualities inside of them that you are hopeful of finding in another person and the ones that you've worked so hard to develop within yourself.
Wow, fantastic.
You have in the past settled for less than you deserved because you were worried that something else wouldn't come along.
Yes.
And if you settle, I guarantee you that nobody else will come along. It's that easy. So make sure you have your red flag list ready so that you know what your deal breakers are. And if someone has a deal breaker, no matter how juicy they look, you walk away.
That sounds great. Yes, I have my list. I've done my homework. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, well, let's check in with Mary because she may have
Barbara,
some...
you said everything that I'm sitting here going with. Yeah. And I wish you could see me. We need a camcorder here going, yes, yes, yes. So, honey, you said it right. Enjoy your time because it is good. Just know that if there is someone who doesn't quite measure up, please think of him as entertainment value. And then you won't be so panicky thinking that it's not right and you're never going to get it. Just accept it as entertainment value and know that just the right person is on their way because I too think that you are moving into your time and place where you are attracting who you really want.
Wow. Yeah, and those that don't quite fit, look at, you know, I like Mary's phrase. My phrase would have been training wheels. You know, it's fine to, you know, have dinner and do things with people, but don't invest yourself emotionally.
Okay.
That's where you've gotten in trouble. You've fallen in love with being in love, and there have been a couple of relationships where you were the only one in it, and you didn't realize it at first.
Right.
So.
Thank you. I think open my eyes.
Well, welcome to the club. But I mean, you're not the first one that's done this. But
right.
But,
oh my gosh! Thank you both so much. Oh, you're both blessings.
Oh,
thank you.
It's our pleasure. I mean, you know, if we can't share some of the wisdom that we've gathered over time, then there's something wrong with the world here.
Well, yeah. But. It just feels so good to hear something that, you're both blessings for delivering messages for people. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And the other thing that keeps coming through here, and I have to say it, is you've kissed enough frogs. Just wait for the prince to come without having to kiss a frog.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Bye. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. I kept seeing frogs. Isn't that funny?
I actually kept thinking, I kept seeing kings, not princes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm fine with that. I, you know.
Yeah, me too. I hope she was too, because I like that.
Yeah, I that story about kissing a frog is a very old one, and it doesn't work on me anymore for sure.
Yeah, Patrick kind of spoiled you.
Yes, he did. He did. Okay, we've got Sharon here. Hi, Sharon. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful, Barbara. Hello to you. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Sharon. Is it Sharon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I think
nice
I'll take advantage. I'm sorry.
I said to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful
to hear your voice too.
Thank you.
I think I'll take advantage of you ladies and go with the past life.
Oh.
Yay!
Well, you've made our afternoon. You go first, Mary.
Okay. All right. One past life is, there are several that come in, because I think in your life, Sharon, you have so many ups and downs and opportunities that come to you. And I think sometimes you are overwhelmed with life. But part of that is because one of the lives that you're here to work on is a mother life where, God bless you, you had 24 kids.
Oh, my God. No wonder.
Yes,
I have them now.
That's, you know, and there wasn't even a camera around to record it. So, but
God.
You were very, very busy but healthy being a mother. And I think that there is a great Mother Earth connection around you now. Hmm. So think of that, because there is a lot going on there. But at the other point, this is so interesting, because I truly see you as a sailor. But you are, wow. I started to go in one direction, and they told me I was wrong, and they told me that you were a sailor in the South Seas and were always paddling out to fish. And being by yourself was very important.
Hmm. Interesting. Because I do like to fish, and mostly am by myself.
Okay. Well, after those 24 kids, you should be. But
oh,
I'm telling you, it was such a good past life, because I really started to talk about some conflict as being a sailor, and my guides told me no. Tell her about the one in the South Seas where she paddled her own canoe or whatever the name of the small boat was and went fishing a lot. So I'm glad you like to fish, because you have great times in this present life where you are given the opportunity to clear your head.
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I think you're being blessed.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Can I really get weird on you?
Oh, of course, Barbara.
Does this all the time.
That's good with me.
This is weird. I'm seeing at least three past lives here, but I have to preface this with... your soul, your spirit is unusual and unique, and your soul has come through on these three lifetimes that I'm seeing at a time in which this species was going through a transformational process from going to almost like Stone Age into almost an industrial type of society almost overnight.
Wow.
Your spirit, your soul, is one of those that in several lifetimes you had been worshipped because you weren't from this planet. But that doesn't mean that you aren't humanoid or stuff like that. It just means that you've come from out of time, I guess is the best way to put it. You come, you incarnate in times in which there is profound upheaval, and yet there is the magic and the thrill and the enlightenment of the consciousness being raised to a point that often humanity needs to be guided. Now, you're not going to stand on a platform and tell people what to do, but you are going to subtly give suggestions all over the place that will help people to move into new understanding and dimensions of thought, reason, and philosophy. And I got the fisherman as well, and the lifetime that I see you, that I pick up on, was one about 2,000 years ago, and it was during the time of Christ. And you were, I'm not saying you were one of the disciples or the apostles, but I will say that you were a fisher person at that particular point in time, and were given the charge to stop going for the fish and go for the spirits and the souls and the people that were floundering and looking for a way to live their life for greater love, for greater perfection, for greater the benefit of the species. And I keep hearing species, and you're absolutely born of this flesh, you know, so that you know, you absolutely you know, your vehicle is absolutely human and you know, of the same species. Your spirit, however, has been in other dimensions. I don't want to say planets, because I don't think it's planets. I think it's dimensions that the UFOs are and everything else. I think it's interdimensional travel. It's not space travel. And I do feel that this lifetime, from time to time, you get the yearning for the three planets that are in Orion's belt. You feel otherworldly and wonder why you're here, because you don't seem to be making the difference that you feel you should be making. And of course, the universe laughs at you for that, because you're making an amazing impact. You just don't know it. But that you should be journaling, because you have a lot of information inside of you that you could share if you chose to. And there's that I doubt it aspect inside of you saying, I have nothing to say that, you know, anybody could possibly, you know, want to hear or whatever. But the reality is that you're here to help a shift in consciousness. And the only way I know that you can do that, aside from living your life the way you are, is to be channeling and writing stuff down and self-publishing, if that's your way of getting things out there. You've had lots and lots of lifetimes. Your soul spirit has had lots and lots of lifetimes here on the earth plane. But it literally, when it came first into this plane, you had technology and you had wisdom and you had knowledge that was so far and above the locals that you were worshipped. And there is that element of knowing what it feels like to be worshipped, and knowing that you don't necessarily deserve it, but getting off on it slightly anyhow. So that aspect is here in your character, and I'm not saying you're looking to be worshipped, but you know you have the memory of what that was like, and you understand, you have a love for humanity that is profoundly different, because you know where it's headed, and we don't. Okay?
Wow. Wow, yeah.
I told you it was weird.
Okay, that's a heck of a lot to live up to.
Well, you can go back to the archives and see if it makes greater sense to you. I know you have that feeling. I know you feel it every now and then. And then you think that's silly. And it's not silly. I think you're right on target.
But the thing is, like you said, I don't know what to do with it.
Well, that's the thing. If you just open to it and allow it to sort of, you know, if you let it to be manifest within reality, it'll take care of it. I mean, channeling is second nature to you. I highly recommend that you start channeling and just see what kind of magic comes out of you. It's really cool stuff.
I might call you later and talk to you about it.
Okay, we could do that. You know how to get a hold of me.
I do. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you both, ladies.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Namaste.
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 Oh, I told you it was weird, Mary.
Yes.
I was looking for, you know, a fun one, and then that popped up. So onward we go. Hi, Connie in Kansas. How are you?
I'm doing fairly well. I mainly want to say hello to both you, Barbara and Mary. I love you both.
Thank you. Hi, Connie.
You are
Thank
a blessing.
So much.
I'm having some health issues that are serious. I'm also at a crossroads in my relationship, and I'm not sure which way I need to go. I feel the roads are in front of me, but I'm unwilling to make a move at this point. And I need some help, spiritual guidance.
Okay. First off, if it was time for you to make any major shifts and changes, you would have made them so that your uncertainty is holding you in place because there are still loose ends to be tied up. So don't try to push yourself in any direction before it's your time. Allow things to sort of, bread needs to rise. That is, if you know how to make regular bread, and cheese needs to ferment. I can't think of enough analogies for you. I just don't think you're ripe yet. I know you're ready. I know you're ready to make a change, but I don't think it's quite time yet.
Okay. All right.
And as far as your relationship goes, golly, you know, I think you've got so much change going on in your life. I am slightly concerned that you're assuming that everything is going strange, and it feels like your relationship still has a lot of good in it. Are you absolutely sure that this is something you want to change?
No, I'm not at all.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Me too.
I think that you've got so much change going on in your life that your health is definitely something that you are struggling with, that you just think that everything is going to pot and you might as well just trash everything and start again someplace else. And that's not appropriate. I know you're struggling with your health, and I know there's a sense that I feel that there is a sense of fear here. I feel that there is a struggle, but I don't feel that it's I don't want to diminish it because I feel how strongly you feel about it, but this is something you can get through.
May I jump in?
Please do, yeah.
Okay. Connie, I feel like this is an opportunity for you to come to grips with how you want to live your life. And it does not matter what anyone else tells us. This is an opportunity for you to deal with being true to yourself. And I feel like you must feel like you're about to step over a cliff when it isn't. And it is in some ways, but it doesn't have to be frightening. It is a matter of finding how you feel that your relationship to the divine is. This is a truly marvelous adventure in front of you, even though there's a health issue, there's a relationship issue. It's all about finding how you feel about yourself and how you connect to the divine. I just want to put my arms around you and give you a hug because this is so important that you do not rush into any decisions and you simply take your time. You're on the right path, and know that the right teachers and the right guides are right there with you.
Now I have to ask, is this health issue just a difficult one, or is this life threatening?
Life threatening.
It is life threatening. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What I'm getting here is that your attitude and your perception can make the difference.
Okay.
And you have to understand that the human body can do amazing things, but that depression is the most destructive thing that you can possibly pull into your persona here. Just because it's threatening doesn't mean that it is carved in stone. And I do not feel it is carved in stone.
That's good to know.
From what I'm feeling here, it's a challenge. It's something that you can approach and fight. And it's something that you do not have to allow to get the better of you.
Right. I try to have good thoughts every day and try to stay positive. The depression, I have never in my life had to fight on such a daily basis. It's overwhelming at some point.
No, I totally, I know where you're coming from, and you're right. And there are a couple of, you know, very simple things that you can do. First of all, watch what you're eating. I think that maybe you're eating some of the wrong foods. That does tend to depress us. My diet depresses me on a very regular basis. You're not getting enough sun. So you need the vitamin D that the sun can give you, that the sun can bless you with. You're in Kansas. I would visit nurseries where they have flowering plants. I would breathe the air there. Unless you're allergic. I would also find your cheerleaders. You have friends that are cheerleaders. And let them help you to raise your spirits, because, you know, sometimes people love us so much that they get depressed for us, and then that just adds to depression. And there have been times in my life where I was so depressed, and then other people came and told me how sorry they felt for me, and they would break into tears, and I would think, well, this really is miserable. I didn't ask for this. So if your friends are so involved that they can't find joy in life and find funny things to do, whether it's movies or going to the mall or flea markets and making fun of people, or just sitting around and doing weird and wonderful things, then you know, stretch yourself out and open yourself up to inviting new people into your life that have a positive attitude, because it makes such a difference. If you can laugh, if you can have joy in your life, even though it's on top of everything else that's going on, you will find that you feel better. And when you feel better, you are better.
Okay, ladies, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And hugs back to you both.
Thank you so much.
And please, you know, my email is barbaradelong@gmail.com. If you want to talk, you know, send me an email. We'll talk further. I'd be happy to help you as best I can.
The best to you, because God is always with us. There, the divine is always there, always there.
Thank you, ladies.
And I'm a great cheerleader.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, she is.
I can cheerlead. I can't walk on water unless it's frozen, but I can cheerlead.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have Cheryl in Oklahoma. Hi, Cheryl. How are you doing today?
Well, hello, Cheryl.
Hello, it's Cheryl. Let me help you a little
Cheryl.
Bit. Oh, Cheryl.
Married. I think you know this lady, Mary.
Well, I do. I had the pleasure of meeting Cheryl once, and we do correspond a little bit. But you have some wonderful questions for us.
I do.
Cheryl.
My first question is that I was involved in an accident a few years ago, and so I basically know that the great divine knocked a little sense into me when I was slammed into the ground. And so I know that I have a sixth sense, and I know that I have heavenly connections, and that's as I call them. But what I want to know is, how do I get stronger in this gift, and what do I do with this gift? Is it just for me to know that I have this gift? Am I supposed to use it to just help my friends, or is it supposed to be a job, or... I'm just kind of curious,
Cheryl,
about that. Yes?
Cheryl, I always feel that when I was supposed to use this, I got called to use it. And I would ask yourself and ask your guardian angel if this is your calling. And then, I mean, seriously, before you go to bed, discuss this with your guardian angel. Because you have an excellent ability, but you and your guardian angel have to decide on this. So if it were me, I would just say, okay, what do I do with it? And tell me by noon tomorrow, because I'm always giving my guardian angel demands, and she always lives up to it. And if I don't get an answer, then I know that the time is wrong for right now.
Okay.
Barbara, do you have something to add to that?
Bunches.
I'm not finished, but I want you to go ahead, please.
Okay. I had a car accident. It was so long ago, I can't remember how long ago it was. It's that bad. 40 years ago, I had a car accident, and at that time, it was sort of like, people have been saying I should do this work full time, and I always said I'll do it when I retire, but, you know, I've got too many perks as far as insurance and things like that, and there's no way I'm letting go of my teaching career, but when I retire, I will do this work full time. So they arranged a phenomenal car accident that absolutely prevented me from teaching any longer. You do have talent, you do have gifts, it's very, very clear. And what happens is you're asking questions about how do I make it stronger, how do I do this, how do I do that. What you have is a gift from Spirit, and Spirit will take care of it if you get out of the way. You will find either a class or a workshop or a person will suddenly come into your life, and you'll know that you're supposed to work with them for a while in that direction. And like Mary said, if nothing is happening, then it's time for you to sit with it yourself and work on it and work on incorporating it more deeply into that which you are and who you are. I found that with my gifts, while I had them before the car accident, it took me working on myself, making myself more sensitive to understanding myself and more compassionate about the things that I did for myself, with myself, to myself. And that's what made me more sensitive to other people. It wasn't so much that I was taking a gift and working on making it better, because that's very presumptive. You know, you don't know what Spirit wants. You have to get out of the way so Spirit can put the right things in front of you. And it will. And when the time is right, you know, when they say when the time is right, you know, when the time is right for the student, the teacher appears. And when the time is right for the teacher, the student appears. And it's true, and it works that way. Certainly while you're waiting to see where the universe wants you to take this gift, and I do believe you have a calling, and I do believe it's not a wrong number, but it doesn't feel like it's quite time for you to step onto a platform of some sort. It's more a time of it's more of a time for you to be working on yourself and your own spiritual development. And That doesn't mean that it's your intuitive and your psychic stuff. It means your own spiritual understanding of how you impact the lives of others with words and deeds and things like that, of understanding that, you know, as a compassionate spiritual person in this body, in this lifetime, it's our obligation to spread the love that we have within ourselves to other people. And you don't do it, you know, for recognition, and you don't do it in obvious places, but you know, I always make sure that I talk to just about everybody I meet on the street, and I smile at them and I say kind things to them, and it's not that I'm a Pollyanna, because I'm not, but you know, you see an older woman in the grocery store who has clearly taken the time and effort to look really, really good, and you go up and you tell her she looks beautiful. And you know, the more that you spread the love inside of you, the more easily the universe can sense that you're at a place in time where you're utilizing those spiritual gifts that you have, and then they open the door to the other stuff. To be honest with you, I never have really ever for the last 30 years, I don't make a call, but I always answer the phone. So that you know, it's sort of like, I know if the universe is calling, it's not a wrong number, and whatever they're asking of me, I must be ready to do it. And I've followed through with that. I can't tell you how long. It absolutely is amazing, because a Blog Talk Radio show, this show started that way. Somebody said to me, have you ever thought about doing a Blog Talk show? And I didn't know what Blog Talk was. And before I knew it, I was doing a show. But it was because someone, you know, the universe opened that door for me. I didn't go seeking it out. I didn't decide I'm going to, you know, do platform mediumship. I didn't decide any of it. It happens to you, and you are called when you are ready. And,
well, that's
and
interesting. I was just asked, invited to be a life coach.
Yay! Yay!
The company's
name
is that.
I'm going to jump in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because, Cheryl, if you're being invited to be a life coach, that is fantastic. That is you using the greatest connection you have and should be working on that. I hope you take the opportunity to your heart and to your mind and go for it. Now, with that said, I'm sitting here being told by my guide that I would send out an invitation to anybody that I know who is interested in this work, the psychic side, and say, let's play, let's develop, let's see if we can take this seriously and start working on this. And offering this all for free, because this is a learning class, and this relates to Barbara talking about taking classes. And I put it in any, even if it's out to dinner, out to lunch, get together with any friend, even if it's one friend, and say, do you mind if I read for you? And go for it. And then the more you do it, the better you become, the more love you spread by saying hello to people, as Barbara says, the better this gift does become. And for me, it's always a matter of, I want to be the very best that I can be.
Amen.
Yeah. And you know, I ran a meditation group for over 20 years. And first of all, I led the meditation, and then afterwards we gave messages. And it was a wonderful way to learn, and everybody learned. Everybody got benefit from it. And, you know, everybody brought something to eat, and after the meditation we sat around and we ate and we talked, and it was an amazing experience. And you don't need to have a master anything. You know, if everyone's intent is to, you know, grow and expand spiritually and understand stuff a little bit better, then you're golden, and stuff just happens. And you'll know. I can remember one time I got a phone call And a woman asked me if I ever spoke at women's luncheons, and I said, of course. And, you know, I have lunch with women and I talk, so how hard could that be? And it was sort of like, call came to me. I figure I'm ready. And you know, they attached me to a microphone and I talked, and it was lovely. But I didn't seek it. And I think that's where so many people, and I stumble myself with this because I think I know where the universe wants me to go, and I you know, basically say to them, you know, take a break, I've got it now, and I usually walk into a brick wall when I say that, but it's sort of like you have to wait till the offer, till the call comes, whether it's an invitation to speak, whether it's an invitation to do something. And while you're waiting for the universe to open those lines, it's very appropriate to gather friends together, like Mary said, and do workshops and play on developing. And play. Do not take it overly seriously. Play. Because it's the joy that comes with play and the laughter that comes with it that intensifies the spiritual energy.
Okay.
You will have a ball, Sherelle. You're good at it. You really are, and I think that your caring nature will support you in this endeavor, and you will be feeling like you're finally doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay.
Hey.
That's part of it, yes. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you.
And don't rush it.
As a calling and start talking to your friends.
Yeah, and
okay.
And enjoy it. I mean, it's supposed to be fun.
Okay.
It's really it is. It's the most joyful. It's the most amazing. It's the most incredible experience ever. So have fun with it.
I'll do my best.
You'll be just fine. And thanks for calling.
Thanks
Sherelle. I am glad you called in.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let me know. Bye-bye.
I will. Bye-bye.
Okay. We've got a guy. Hi, Bob. How are you doing today?
Hey, Barbara. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, our pleasure. Our pleasure. How can we help today?
Oh, just wondering what you see.
Okay. You told Jeannie you were wondering about women.
Yeah, you know, same relationship stuff, whatever.
Okay.
Well, that's a little confusing.
Yes. Okay. Are you in a relationship now?
Nah. Uh-uh.
Okay.
That's because you're confused.
Yeah.
What's that?
I'm laughing, Bob, because that's because you're confused.
I'm confused.
Yes.
Yeah, well.
Go ahead, Mary. Go ahead. I will hop in after you.
Okay. Well, Bob, what I see is there's actually two women around you, but the relationship has to come with a commitment level for you, and it's possible, but I don't see anything serious at this particular time because I'm not picking up a feeling that this is exactly where you want. I feel like there's some unnecessary feelings that weigh your decision-making down and maybe feelings of being suppressed. And if I were you, because I do see two other people around you, I would be concentrating on a positive aspect of having someone in my life that allows you the freedom to be yourself. I mean, when you picked up the phone, whether you are or whether you're not, I feel like your need to be hitting the road, riding for freedom. I just feel like there is a big part of you that has a lot of temptations and holds you back on this. So for me, I really feel that there a good relationship does not come until you find or agree emotionally and mentally and spiritually to have someone who values your freedom and your sense of pleasure and the uniqueness that makes you who you are. Barbara?
Yeah, I think you're just too good looking. And sorry. It feels here that you've got law of attraction working for you over time, that you do attract people to your life, but they aren't the kind of person that you want to have a full-time relationship with. So you've got lots of applicants, but none of them make it past the first interview, is what it feels like here. I strongly think that you have work to do on yourself. And you know, going along with what Mary said, it feels like you would like a relationship, but it has to be on your terms, and it feels to me as though you're at a time and place here where you're still trying to figure out exactly what it is you really, really want. And so what I see going on here is you kind of fluctuating back and forth, commitment, no commitment, commitment, no commitment. I do see two people coming into your life, just as Mary said, and it does feel here as though at least one of them is what I would say at least the intellectual equal you're looking for. You have a lot of things that you're looking for in a person, and one of them is an amazing mind, and at least one of these ladies has that amazing mind. So that as you get more into the June time frame, there are new people coming into your life, but I strongly suggest that you take the time to really get to know people before you even, you know, give them the application for a commitment, because I think it's going to be almost a year's time before you actually have that kind of commitment you want. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be dating, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to meet people, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to have, you know, relationships, but you're looking for something very intense and very special, and you're still a work in progress yourself. So, you know, finding the magic that you're looking for is going to be difficult, but I do feel it's here, but it requires you to work on yourself a little bit more than you have already. Does that make sense?
I'm really not sure what you mean.
Okay. The way that you function within a relationship is changing. And it does feel to me as though you are more committed to being a good partner now than you ever have been before, but I still think you have to work on that a little bit more before the person, the magical person that you're looking for, walks into your life.
Bob, do you ride a motorcycle?
No. Never have.
Ride a bike?
Not right now, but I mean, I have, you know, as a kid and stuff.
Well, I picked it up, and so did Sherelle, that there is a big part of you that is still, this is from my words, still riding wild. So, put that in your perspective, because I think this could be a major issue here. But I'm like Barbara. We both agree there's two that are more interested, but it's going to take some time before they actually come into your life.
Yeah, and you know something? I think that you know, to be perfectly honest with you, it's going to become very clear what issues need to be worked on as you get into relationship with the next two people that are coming into your life. I don't think that, you know, there's going to be any confusion. Somebody's going to sit down and say to you, you know, we have to work on this because this isn't working for me. And that will surprise you when that happens. And I, you know, if somebody, you know, cares enough for you that wants to sit down and work on some aspects of, and it doesn't mean it's you. It means, you know, it's an element of communication, or it's an element of understanding commitment and stuff like that. It's something that both of you will be working on. It's not that you're broken and need to be fixed, or this other person is broken and needs to be fixed. It's that both of you are going to be at a time and a place where you really want to work something out so that you understand the other person well enough so that the communication for the relationship is going to be profound for you. There's always archives. You can go back and listen to what Mary and I are trying to say, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm not really sure where... I don't know. I've always found it that it wasn't me. It was more somebody else that wasn't being committed.
Well, you've got two people that are being that are going to be attracted to you, and I feel that you will be attracted back, but that there are going to be things that need to be worked on in order for relationships to work. And I do feel that they will be as interested as you are. So and again, intellectually, they will be your equals. Okay?
Okay, I guess we'll see.
Okay, you can call back and tell us because I would like to hear about this, okay?
All right.
Take care now.
You too.
Okay. I love men. I really do. I really do. Hi, we got Cindy here. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Barbara. I know I just talked to you yesterday, but I have to say right off the bat, you know how you were talking about cheerleaders? I'm like bouncing off the floor cheering for you two. And
well, thank
even
you.
More, my cat, which usually is sleeping at this time of day, is in here bouncing with me. She was extremely verbal as you were talking, standing right by my feet. So,
how cool is
you
that?
Know, I know.
That's
it
pretty
is
good.
Really cool.
That's all inside, if you ask me. So.
Yeah, she was just over here, and she's still in here, and generally she's not. She's usually sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So she's feeling some type of energy from, like I am, because I love that the one that you talked to with the cheerleading. I do think, and you know, Barbara, from our talk yesterday, that I just helped my sister through cancer. And a lot of it does have to do with your attitude and with the people that you put around yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved it. I was bouncing off the floor as you were talking.
Well, you know, there's nothing more depressing than someone who is depressed because you're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
and you know, it's I mean, my goodness, my husband passed from cancer in October, and in the room he was in a coma, and there was laughter in the room because of course while he was going through a difficult thing and passing away, the joy and the love that is in laughter is so healing and so invigorating that
yeah, I agree.
It's an amazing thing, and you know, nobody was making jokes or anything like that, but
I
know that he appreciated it. I know he did because he was never one that would want anybody crying or being miserable or whatever. And you know, when we got the bad news that he was terminal, he said, "Well, my work here is done." And I said, "No, it's not. I got a big list here. You got a couple of years left." And as I'm you know, having to get handymen to do the work and things like that he was, you know, going to do, every now and then I do get the feeling that he's around and you know, wondering, am I paying them too much or are they doing a good job? So
he was I'm sensing that he was a perfectionist in all that he did, kind of similar to my own husband. But really what I was calling for, and I just spoke to you yesterday, first time I've had a reading in a long time, but you intrigued me with the past life. I've never had that done.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Never.
You've not lived. Go, Mary, go.
Well, I haven't made the connection yet. I'm sorry. I kind of was zoning out. Their phone was ringing, and so I got distracted. So,
okay. I'll go first. I don't mean to put put you under pressure here. There's a sense here of flight, and it does feel as though in at least three or four past lifetimes you have been not that you flew, but that you were one who trained birds of prey and raptors, and there was a sense here that in one lifetime especially, and we go back now 3,000 years, you trained eagles. And you were male, and you had a staff that you held, and the eagle sat on your arm. You were female, but these birds are huge. These bald eagles.
I have them in my yard. They come and visit me, and they follow me sometimes.
Well, this past lifetime, and we go back thousands and thousands of years with this. This past lifetime, you would send this eagle into the sky, and you would see from its eyes. It was phenomenal. And you had the sense of flight, the sense of soaring, the sense of, you know, you used it to find your way through mountains and forests and things like that. But at the same time, you were a wise person who brought wisdom and knowledge wherever you went. You never stayed in one place for any great length of time. You were constantly traveling, and it was something that you just needed to do because you couldn't stay still. And not only did you have the eagle, but you had these little furry things that were with you. I want to say they were minks. And they would, you know, follow along at your feet, you know, and they would climb in your pockets, and they would steal food out of your pockets and stuff like that. But you had familiars that were amazing. You really, in that particular lifetime, preferred the company of your animals to those of other people because other people didn't understand you and they couldn't relate to you, and you just would rather have the animals because, yeah, it does sound like ferrets.
and it does. I was going to say ferret. You
were somebody who trained birds of prey. And then, coming forward 1,000 years anyhow, you trained hawks to hunt, but you never masked them because they trusted you so much, and there was something about their look, even though they looked cold, they were almost like guard dogs when you slept, so that they were totally protected. And this lifetime, you do pick up the feathers, and you do save the feathers when you see them. And it is a reminder of those lifetimes past when they were your guardian, your power animal, your familiar, and they helped you to see the world from different eyes. And I think you still have that ability if you really wanted to work on it. If you've got eagles in your yard, then I would really work on that.
Next to Bush's wildlife, but
yeah.
What I find funny is the animal thing, because when we moved here, all of the feral cats ended up here at my house. And they stayed until, you know, it took me a while to get them to trust me, but they stayed until they died. And the one thing I have to say is that all they ever wanted was love.
Yeah.
That's it. It was simple.
Well, and, you've done that, and you are a whisperer of sorts, and I do feel that that's a talent and a skill that I would absolutely work on this lifetime. Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think you can make a career of it, but I sure as heck would do it because it does open you to some amazing experiences.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead, Mary.
I find that very interesting because I kept thinking there were horses here and training wild horses. And to me, it does not go back as far as yours, but there's two lifetimes I see. And one is where you are in Mongolia and riding the wild horses and capturing the wild horses, and having furs around you is so important for you because they are talking about you riding bareback and being in control. And this is a lifetime where you actually were killed when you fell from the horse. because your time was near and you fell from the horse. But when your soul came into heaven, you had no ill feelings whatsoever for the horse, and that was so nice. And I think you made progress in our spiritual journey with that, because you still loved all the animals. Now, I'm going to jump from that real quick, because what I see is actually, and as Barbara knows, I'm more right straight across the human path here, but I see you working as a school teacher, probably the middle of the 19th century, in a very cold climate like Russia or Germany, because I'm not quite sure. And I see you struggling to teach all children how to read and write, and especially because if they wouldn't send the girls, that really irritated you. And then there is another part that really is important to you. You tried your very, very best and were always an example of cleanliness. And so I feel that dirt is always something that will drive you nuts, that illness is unnecessary when the body is clean. I mean, it happens, but you can prevent so much by taking care of yourself. And I feel that one of your missions were about cleanliness, and that it is important to have a clean home. Does not have to be rich, but it needs to be tidy. And I feel that that is one of the things that you've brought into this world.
Okay. I love that. And, yeah, as far as the teaching goes, I had actually seen that for myself at one point, that I had been a teacher of children. And so no one's ever said that to me before.
Very cool.
I thought that was pretty cool.
For poor children.
What?
You have a soft spot for the poor.
I do. I actually did a charity that I just did by myself for all of the elementary schools in the district to make sure that all of the kids had what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't go through any organized thing because I felt like if people know who did it, they feel obligated or uncomfortable, and so it was a secret thing for me, and nobody ever knew it was me.
And that relates back to this life, because there was a lot of prejudice about teaching girls and taking little boys or boys from the fields, and so you did whatever you could to advance knowledge. And I feel that that is one of the reasons why you're working on your charities this time in your life, because it's a lifetime that was unfulfilled with everything you wanted. But this life, everything moves a little faster, and I think you're really working on your spirit and your godliness when you work with the children.
Oh, thank you. I love children. I love elderly. I love animals. And so I just love people. I mean, let's face it. But anyway, thank you both so much. I've never had a past life reading, and that was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Our pleasure.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Right. Talk to you soon.
Okie doke.
Bye-bye
now.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm so glad people are asking for past lives. I mean, we've always had so much fun with them. And
I always laugh because we both come from such a different perspective, and it balances things out.
Oh, gosh,
I think, yeah.
Well, it's me too. Okay, we've got Ruth in Illinois here.
Ah,
hi, Ruth.
I've been watching. Is this Ruth who's very shy and who is in the chat?
That's me. I can talk in the chat. It's on, that's me.
Okay, hello, Ruth. Welcome to the voice. This is the sound. I better shut up because I cannot sing.
No, I can't either. So I don't like the word can't, so I am unable to sing.
Ah, I like you, but actually, people put a sock in my mouth when I sing. So
when I was in grade school and in junior high, they would give me an A to sit in the back of the class and read.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll take that A.
Don't open your mouth. And my father had a beautiful voice. I don't know what happened to me.
It just skipped a generation.
Yeah. It skipped all 8 of his children.
Yep.
Well, how can we help today, Ruth?
I would like a past life. I've never had one. Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
You okay? You want me to go?
Yeah, go.
Okay. This I don't see this very often, but Ruth, I actually do see you as a black woman slave.
Okay.
And because my knees hurt and my lower back hurts.
My legs, my knees hurt. My knees have been replaced, but my legs hurt. I have a neurological disease, so they still hurt. Oh my.
It's coming from there, and that was the first thing they said, the knees, the legs, the lower back. So put that in perspective because I know my own daughter was a black woman many, many lives, but you definitely were, and, honey, you picked cotton.
Okay.
So I'm truly, now this was in early, like 1812, so I have rarely ever seen this before. Because it's such a traumatic event. So, honey child, you were, okay? But it relates this lifetime to the fact that you do a lot for other people.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm speaking to you about it because I want you to know that the body passes away, but you brought some of the same issues in so that you realize it will pass away and that in this life you're so much more blessed because someone now pays attention to you and cares, and we have medical facilities, and your lifetimes are getting better and better despite the difficulties, because we all have them, but your connection to the divine is growing and growing and growing.
Oh, that is awesome.
My turn?
Yes.
Okay. You've been a writer. You've been an author. You've been someone who put wisdom and words down on paper constantly. And you have worked in or around libraries in lots and lots of past lifetimes, and I can take this back thousands and thousands of years, where that aspect of you looking at people and saying, shh, be quiet, other people are working, shh, keep it down, and it feels here as though you love being around wisdom, you love being around knowledge, you love being around things that you didn't know or understood, but you loved soaking in the energy that was out there, and it feels as though that aspect of writing comes into this lifetime as well, and that, you know, you may not think you write well, but
I
it
don't.
Does feel as though you have no you have a voice, you have a story to tell, you have a legacy to leave, and it's important that you do that. There is also this wonderful talent, this gift that you've had in past lifetimes, where you have kept histories, where you have told you were a priest, or a priest when you traveled with armies, keeping chronicles
of their victories and how the battles went and things like that. You were one who kept records and who, you know, preserved history. And this lifetime, it's really important that you start, you know, preserving your history and your story because you have a story to tell. So it's really important that you share your story. You share, you know, your journey so far this lifetime. Doesn't mean that you know, your lifetime is over, because it sure isn't. But you have a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of working with your hands and working either with pencil and paper or on the computer, because there's that element and that aspect of writing. There's also a lifetime here which I feel is in the Himalayas, and you were a monk there, and you were I almost want to say you were donated into the priesthood. I believe your family left you on the doorstep and they raised you as their own. Okay. So that you were very used to walking barefoot and being quiet and meditating and caring for the older people and taking care of them, and it feels as though you learned very quietly. And I know what this is. You were a Dalai Lama. Way back. And you came into that spiritual place as a young child, a very young child, and you just sort of knew it all, and you served, and you know, even though you were in a place of honor, of course, but you learned that serving others is also a gift, and humility is also a gift that has to be developed and generated, and I feel that you bring a lot of those aspects to this lifetime, and from time to time feel as though you're out of your element, but the reality is you're not out of your element. The rest of humanity hasn't gotten to your level yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I feel out of my element. I come from a big family, and I want to be by myself. It's like, you're cold. You know, I love my siblings, but I've always been a loner, so I can see that.
Yeah, you've always been isolated, and from what I could see, and isolation is something you seek. It isn't something that is imposed on you. It's something that you welcome, because you like your own company, and that's a great thing.
Right.
You know, there are lots of people that just can't stand being alone. I'm not one of them. I kind of like being alone.
I also being alone. My books, and leave me alone.
Well, I every now and then I get cabin fever and I have to talk to other people. But yeah, I am quite content with being alone, and I do feel that is a special quality for you. And probably this lifetime is difficult from time to time, because you're being shoved into a box that doesn't fit.
Right.
But do understand that nobody is doing this to you. It's something that you chose to experience this lifetime for some strange reason.
Yeah, I know. Why did I choose pain in my knees again? I don't know.
I can tell you, you didn't choose the pain. The universe is telling you that you need to sit in one place for a while and do some things that you should be doing that if you were able to get up and move around, you would not do.
Ah, okay.
And so as soon as you finish those projects, as soon as you write those letters, take care of the pictures, tie up whatever loose ends you have to tie up, and you'll find your knees are going to be just fine.
Okay.
I have a comment on that, okay? You chose the pain in your knees because you're familiar with it.
Ah. That makes sense.
Okay.
It does make sense. Weird, okay. But it makes sense.
We repeat we repeat. Barbara's right, but we repeat. So, because as I said, time passes and the body passes. So you have to realize, I hope you realize, that you're repeating this and that you accept it the way it is. You go on doing the things that need to be done, all those things you put off, as Barbara says.
Right.
But when yourself, you're familiar with this and you're perfectly capable of handling it.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, Ruth. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Barbara, Mary. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we've got Brittany in California. Hi, Brittany. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing very well. Thank you. How can we help?
I'm calling because, I have been meditating on, excuse me, there's a move coming up for me. I'm supposed to be, I have to move by the end of next month, and I just wanted to know what Spirit had to say regarding that. And, like, what you see in regards to that.
Well, I think this move is a great move. And it opens the doors to healing, to new beginnings, to commitment, to setting yourself free. I think it's amazing. It feels as though you're resisting it, but it feels as though it's a great idea. So, I would say that this move has the potential of opening you to magic and miracles, and it will put you into a place and a time where you'll be able to move into new aspects of yourself that you haven't been able to touch into to this point in time. I see freedom. I see home, expanding greatly. I see balance and justice. I see it, and it feels like you have you fought this move, because it feels like you have.
No, actually, I want to move. The thing is that I think it's more of a financial thing that's going through my head. I know that I'm going to be taken care of. I know that everything is going to happen for my good.
Sure.
It's just, I think I just have to surrender and let it just happen. But I think the human side of me is like, oh, how am I going to do this? I have to pay for that, and so I think that's the main thing.
No, I think there's great commitment here, and I think your life is going to change amazingly, and that it's almost like you're starting with a fresh slate. It's a new beginning. It's a wonderful move, and I'm very excited about it. I mean, I how far are you moving?
Well, I'm not far from where I live now. Yes, and that's another thing is I'm looking, but I don't know is there something that Spirit should say that I should look out for as far as, like, the actual location or maybe, what's around me? I don't know.
I feel like I'm supposed to tell you that this is kind of a move that you're going to feel like you're going into a time where you were going, oh, this is a home for me. And I wouldn't go too far away from where you are now. But I feel like it's going to be happy, and I would just put in my head, okay, let's see what's out there and where do I feel the most comfortable about. This is a time for you to say it's comfortable and stay in your budget. And with Barbara said, I mean, I also feel that this is a time for great things to happen to you. And, like, magic is going to start, but you got to say to yourself, okay, where's my new home? And don't limit yourself. Just get it within your budget.
Yeah. And, the element of commitment is here, too. So, my feeling is that the element of commitment is sort of working with everything else that's going on. And I feel that I do feel that if you embrace this move, if you really say, okay, where do you want me? Because I know that when my mother passed away and I had to sell the house where I had lived for 50 years, it was like, okay, I can go anywhere, and I literally just kept looking until I found magic, and I looked all over the place. It was amazing, and I kept telling realtors, I know exactly what I want. It has to be a happy house. It has to be something that I can afford, and it has to have character, and it absolutely just happened. But it was sort of like I put it out there, and it did happen. You have to ask for stuff too. You have to, you can't just sit back and see what happens. You have to put out there exactly what it is you want to have come into your life, and then it does.
Now, when you say you see a great commitment, what does that entail?
Everything from commitment to paying your bills on time and balancing your checkbook to how you function within a job, to how you function within a relationship.
Okay. And do you see this move happening like seamlessly?
I actually do. It does feel as though, so long as you go with the flow, and I know how silly that sounds, but you go with the flow, and you don't let anything overwhelm you. You just go with the flow. You'll find that it's going to be far easier than you think, and everything is going to sort of unfold. It's like a wedding. You know how they say weddings sound and feel like often that they're going to be disaster, and then the day of the wedding, everything just absolutely falls into place magically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That kind of, helps put me at ease, and I'll just continue to meditate on it.
Oh, absolutely. And be open to what the universe brings into your reality, because the universe has a sixth sense of humor, but it also manages to surprise us amazingly if we give it the opportunity.
And while you're meditating, could you end every meditation with a song? Just sing your happiness, whether it's on key or not. Sing your happiness.
Oh, that's a great idea. I will do that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You were a joy.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye.
Okay, Mary, do you have time for one more? I mean, I will stay on to the end, but I know you have to take off. But can you do one more with me?
Yes, one more would be absolutely perfect. Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate
it. Okay, we got Vernell here. Vernell?
Yes. Yes.
How can we help?
Thanks for taking my call. My birthday is coming in a few weeks, and my birthday is a lot of the times before Mother's Day, too. So I was wondering, can y'all tell me what y'all might see happening on my birthday and Mother's Day, and also if I would be moving?
Well, I can't. I don't have a calendar here, so I can tell you that you're at a time when there's a lot of laughter, joy, and celebration here, when you have the capacity to draw people closer together, and it feels as though it's almost on a spiritual level, your family and spirit saying to you, let's mend fences and let's pull family together and let's try to have a joyful time. And it does feel here as though over the next couple of months, the law of attraction works with you amazingly. So I would say that You can make almost anything happen that you really want to happen. It's just a matter of putting your intent out there and your expectations. I don't think that there are any big surprises coming, but I do feel that you're going to be experiencing the love of the universe in a very unique and different way, so it should be pretty interesting. Mary, what are you getting?
I get kind of a mutual understanding. So if you're thinking about doing something in a commitment with someone, this is your time to do it. And it may be just because your birthday is coming up, but I feel like this is your time to make a joy with other people around you. Like if you were considering moving in with someone or starting a business with someone, you're in a time and a place where it really works out. But So your getting along with people is at a high point. So make sure you tell yourself what you really want. And
okay.
And here's something that is not always good, but if you have been putting off going to the dentist, my head is spinning with, you might get yourself to the dentist.
Yeah, I don't have any dental insurance, and that's been on my mind for a while.
Oh, that's picking it up, honey, okay? But this is probably because they're telling you don't put it off, arrange payments.
Okay, I don't have an income, too, so I'm waiting for Social Security. I've been trying to apply for Social Security, but they turned me down. But I'm going to apply again.
Okay.
Yeah, they turn everybody down at least 3 times, I understand.
Yeah, they really turned me down a lot, and they wouldn't overrule the judge's last decision from last year. So I was told that I have to reapply all over again.
I would do that. And she was turned down twice before she got her disability.
Okay, now, a quick question.
Wait. I got to remind you. I just saw an agreement. So I think the Social Security is closer than you think.
Yeah, I would agree.
Oh, great. So shortly after I reapply, then they will decide on my case.
They should. I think it always takes longer than you think. But I think there's opportunities coming for you shortly, and I think that there are mutual agreements you will be happy with, and that, to me, represents Social Security.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. And as far as moving goes, will I be moving quite a ways near the coast of Virginia? I live in the central part, and I was wondering if I would live near the coast of Virginia this year with someone.
I'm not seeing a move.
I'm not either. I think it's into next year because it seems to me this is something you've been dealing with for a long time.
Yes.
And it is still a ways off.
Uh-huh. Okay, and I will be living with someone, though, when the time comes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep. That mutual agreement is still there.
Yeah. Okay, Vernell, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all both.
You're welcome. Okay, I know Mary has to go, so we're going to thank her for being here and stuff like that there. But
I love that, Barbara.
I am going to stay, so, you know, if
okay.
You know, if
thank
people want to get...
I appreciate it. I have other commitments today.
You have a secretary that just books you up terribly. So, unfortunately, he works for free, so you can't fire him. But
I know. Well, he does kind of get fringe benefits.
Yes. So. Well, hey,
and
you
we
know,
don't need to go into those.
No. But
you all know what I'm talking about. So, Barbara, thank you, everybody. I really had a great time. And Jeannie, thank you so much. And many, many blessings. And I will see you all in a month.
Yes, Mary is here the last Friday of the month. Come
yes.
Hell or high water. So long as her broom is not broken.
I fall asleep in the car.
Well, yeah. And so long as your broom is not in the shop. We will expect you to fly in and hopefully not hit traffic. So, Mary, thank
bye.
You. And I will be talking to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, Jeannie is screening at least one more person, so I will wait for her. The switchboard is really a kind of cool thing, and... to tell you the truth, having Jeannie do this for me makes life so much easier. I don't have to worry about who it is on the line. I know who it is, and if she can type fast, I'll know what we're supposed to be talking about. Okay, it's Sue in the UK. Okay, hi Sue, how are you doing?
Hi, Well, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulously well. Thank you so much.
Good, good. I've got an interesting question. I'm wondering if you can look into a situation for me that I'm kind of pondering what's going on. I was invited by some new fast friends at Christmas to spend Christmas with them, with a group of people, and it was wonderful, and it was a lot of fun. It was met a lot of new people through this couple. It's a couple.
Mm-hmm.
When I was invited over there, I kind of felt like I was being introduced to one particular single man that was there, because we were the only two single people there. And then I haven't been invited over. I feel like I've been sort of purposely not invited when he's been around since. And not long ago when I was over there with her, this friend, she turned to me and said, "You're just like him. You know, he's in a few different ways," and we had a conversation about him, and she basically said that, you know, a few years ago he was suicidal because some woman dumped him and another one dumped him or cheated on him, and he's got like a complicated history. But I'm wondering why it feels to me that I'm being not invited when he's around, and does this have something to do with me or something, or was I brought there to sort of meet him because it felt like that, but it wasn't said to me directly. It was never said to me directly, but what's going on?
I don't think you were invited there for him specifically. I think that was just a coincidence that both of you, yeah, and there are no such things as coincidence, so we won't even go there. But it feels to me that you're not being asked because you're being protected. And that I'm not sure how you felt towards this person, but I do feel that this is not a person that would be a perfect mate for you. This is somebody who has issues that are pretty deep, and it feels to me as though a person is coming into your life sometime this summer that has a lightheartedness about them that this other person does not have. This other person has issues, has emotional issues. And did you date this person at all?
No, not at all. I only met them the one time, and I know he's got very deep issues. So you think that they're protecting me?
I think you're being, I think you're being protected. I'm not sure they even understand what they're doing. But I think that not putting you in the same situation I think you had a past life with this person, so you might be attracted to him.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
But that past life doesn't have anything to do with this life, and that past life was a healthy one, and he is not healthy this lifetime. And I'm not talking physical healthy, I'm talking emotional healthy.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know
so
that.
So that this would be a very bad situation for you to be in, and so the universe in many ways is just manipulating it so that you don't get thrown in with him when and where you are vulnerable, and you're vulnerable now. You want a relationship, and
yeah.
this feels as though it's familiar, and therefore it would be a good idea, and it would not be a good idea. It would not be a good idea.
Tell me, what is it that is the fear there? What is it that would potentially occur? What am I being protected from?
First of all, he is a manic depressive.
Yeah, that's what I felt like. Yeah, that's what I could feel.
And you would try very hard to help him get better. And you can't help somebody to get better. They have to want to get better. He doesn't want to. And he doesn't want to deal with what his issues are. And this is somebody who can be very... And
I'm sorry, it broke off there. Someone that can be very what?
Abusive.
That's the feeling I'm getting.
And I think that this is a very charming person.
Yeah,
but,
oh, definitely.
But at the same time, there is that undercurrent of abuse, and he enjoys abusing people.
Yeah, he's very critical.
So no, you don't want this. You please don't want this. Feel very grateful and thankful that the universe is you know, keeping you away from this person so that the good stuff can come through as you get into the June, July timeframe, new people coming into your life. It feels as though there are some very healthy, emotionally healthy people coming into your life. Don't hang on this. This is a past life connection that has nothing to do with this life, but it would suck you in. And, you know, frankly, I think you've paid enough dues being with the wrong people.
In life, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that eventually our paths will cross again. It's just, it's early. This is what because we know the same people. I think it will. But I'm just, that's why I'm wondering why I kind of feel like I've been purposely kept away since.
The universe has done it. But you know, I think once you're in another relationship, you'd be fine with being in the same company with him. You wouldn't be interested. But you feel drawn to this person. And
I do, yeah.
And please, you know, stay as far away as you can, because this would be, would it be horrible? Yeah, it probably would be. And you would waste time because you can't help this person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the feeling I get, is he's a manic depressive.
And
he's not medicated.
No, and he may be bipolar too. I don't know, but this could be a dangerous thing for you, and I would stay away.
Emotionally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so,
and physically.
I what do they do physically? I didn't get the impression that he could be physically. I got the impression he could put you down and make you feel very bad about yourself.
He could get so depressed that he'd want to do harm to himself and think it would be smart to take you with him.
Do they do that? Because she said that he's a depressive and he tried to commit suicide a few years ago. But they keep blaming the women that are cheating on him. But I don't think so. My gut feeling is he's abusive to them and there's a reason for it.
Yeah, so I would just stay far away. I mean, this could be very dangerous for you. It really could be.
Yeah, that's terrible. Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome, and thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. I want to thank everybody for being here today. It's been a delightful show. I have, as usual, had a great time. Thank you, Jeannie. You do an amazing job, as usual. We'll have to give you another raise. And please look for us next Friday. We'll be back here. And have a great weekend. Have a great week. And I'll see you guys next week. Take care now. Bye-bye.